This is Jay Sekulow. Two major victories. The cross remains at the Ground Zero Memorial and another HHS win at the Court of Appeals.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
A federal judge has ruled that a cross-shaped piece of wreckage from the World Trade Center can stay in the 9/11 Museum.
A judge tossed out a lawsuit that tried to get it moved. It was filed by a group of atheists who said the cross is a religious symbol. The judge said the cross has historical significance.
The lawsuit was filed by the group American Atheists after their offer to supply a memorial for the approximately 500 atheists who died in the attacks was rejected by the museum's curators. Museum spokespeople praised the judge's decision, calling the cross a crucial part of the 9/11 Memorial Museum's mission.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You've stated that the baby born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family. Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that.
We'll work to strengthen families by removing the financial deterrence to marriage for low-income couples and do more to encourage fatherhood. Because what makes you a man isn't the ability to conceive a child, it's having the courage to raise one. And we want to encourage that.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We've got three major announcements now, because just as we were running the introduction of the broadcast on the air, we just got word from the U.S. Court of or U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Missouri in a case called Bick Holding Company versus Kathleen Sebelius. She, of course, is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. We filed a complaint, a lawsuit against the HHS mandate, the abortion pill mandate. We won. An injunction has been issued there. On Friday, late in the day, we had another victory where the D.C. Court of Appeals, in an unprecedented move, reversed themselves and issued an injunction stopping the enforcement of the HHS mandate. Again, we beat the Obama administration there. And then we also got word late Friday that the judge, the district court judge, in the case involving the what's called the 9/11 cross, that case was thrown out. The American Atheists said they're angry, which isn't a shock, and they're going to appeal. But we have not three major victories in cases that are really significant. So what a way to start the week here, folks, at the ACLJ. This all happening on Good Friday, and then the case out of Missouri just moments ago. We just literally got the order minutes ago. We're taking your phone calls, whether it's on the HHS mandate, whether it's across at Ground Zero, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, the flack that the Health and Human Services offices are getting, HHS and the Obama administration, over this abortion pill mandate is starting to become pretty staggering. We are 6-0. We beat the administration six times in federal court.
That's right. And we know that because of these victories, the administration keeps backtracking. Now, they haven't fully backtracked yet, but they are starting to see the writing on the wall. And imagine if you hadn't have fought back, folks. You know, remember when this first came out and the administration tried to play it down and win the PR war and say, you know, this is no big deal, no violation here. This is a birth control issue. Well, guess what? None of the courts agree here. I mean, the courts are saying the exact opposite. This is a huge violation of our First Amendment rights. Remember how we were trying to explain to you that this is bigger than just the single issue? That if the government can violate the First Amendment this way, it's a new interpretation, a new meaning, which is very little meaning to what it means to have the free exercise of religion, and the government preventing to be able to go in and try to interfere with your exercise of that. Folks, we're winning in court, but you spoke out and you understood the bigger issue at stake here, the First Amendment issue.
You know, we're fighting at NARAL, Planned Parenthood, all these groups. When we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Ed White. We're going to talk quickly about the victory that we've just had on this HHS mandate. But I'm going to play something for you coming out of Florida. From Planned Parenthood. It's just unbelievable, folks. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, whether it's at Cross at Ground Zero or whether it's also either the Cross at Ground Zero or the HHS mandate case. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to sign on and join with us in these briefs we're filing on this HHS mandate, it's 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Join on to a brief on the winning side. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge, the HHS mandate that forces employers to provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if it violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed multiple lawsuits directly challenging this unprecedented attack on the religious and conscience rights of Americans. And the ACLJ is experiencing tremendous success. The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, three major victories. We got the Court of Appeals and the District of Columbia reverse themselves. We're going to talk to Ed White about that in a moment. We just got an order in Bick Holding Company versus Sebelius, and that was another HHS mandate case that we've won in the Eastern District of Missouri. And we also had the good news that the Cross case involving the Cross at Ground Zero was thrown out of federal court by the judge. Of course, they're saying they're going to appeal, so we'll let everybody know what they can do. But before I get Ed on the phone, let me tell you something, folks. Ed White has been leading up a team of lawyers that have been working on these HHS mandate cases, and we are 6-0. We have won six cases. We've lost none. We've got a seventh one that's filed, and we've just got word, and Ed's going to update us here on an oral argument in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Before I get on, let me tell you what I want to do, folks. We've got a petition right now. It's actually a committee, and we're filing briefs, I think, in 15 or 16 cases now, where 136,548 American citizens are joining with us and members of Congress. We'd like you to be part of the team opposing the abortion pill mandate and defending religious liberty. And you could do that by going to aclj.org and signing on to that committee, or call us right now as we're winning these cases, folks. I want to get this up to 200,000 signatures. Join with us as we file these briefs. 1-877-989-2255. It's a committee opposing the abortion pill mandate and defending religious liberty. aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Folks, we are winning. Ed, give us the latest on the D.C. Court of Appeals. A stunner there. We moved for a rehearing en banc, which was the three-judge panel ruled against us. Then we went and filed an appeal en banc to have the whole D.C. Court of Appeals hear it. And what happened?
Late afternoon on Friday, the original judges who denied our emergency motion changed their mind and granted our emergency motion. And what's significant about that is, number one, it's very difficult to get judges to change their mind. But number two, that they issued their order Friday, which allows our clients to not have to comply with the mandate today. Today was the day they were going to have to decide, the Gilardi brothers, who run two big companies in Ohio, whether they were going to violate their Catholic faith and pay for abortion pills, sterilization, etc., or if they were going to stay true to their Catholic faith, would have to incur penalties, now get this, of $39,500 a day, over $14 million a year, just for the right to exercise their Catholic faith freely and to be able to provide the same health coverage they've been providing for over a decade which specifically has excluded abortion, contraceptions, and sterilization based upon their Catholic faith. So it was a wonderful victory.
A significant victory for the company and a significant victory for religious freedom. But, folks, I'm going to play something for you right now. We're fighting groups like Planned Parenthood on this. And if you don't think that they have a pro-abortion agenda, listen to this dialogue going on between Florida State Representative Olivier and Alisa Snow, a Planned Parenthood representative. Folks, listen carefully to this. It is unbelievable. We're talking about a live, living baby, which, of course, we believe in the womb, they're live, living babies. But this is a baby that's been delivered. Listen to what she says, number seven.
You stated that that a baby born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family. Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that.
That's Planned Parenthood, folks. The baby is alive on the table after a botched abortion, and Planned Parenthood's position is that's between the doctor and the patient is not the unborn child. So that's who we're fighting in these cases, folks. Planned Parenthood and the Obama administration, and we're 6-0. We're beating them back, but this is where you come in, folks. We really use your help in standing with us on this. Go to ACLJ.org and sign on this committee, or after hearing this Planned Parenthood colloquy, this discussion, call us right now at 1-877-989-2255 and say, you know what? I'm going to stand for life. I'm going to stand for religious liberty. I want to beat Planned Parenthood and NARAL and the Obama administration, and I'm going to stand with the ACLJ team in this court case by signing on to this committee. It's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Ed, what's the next move in this case at the D.C. Court of Appeals?
The next move is we have to file our opening brief at the end of April, and then there'll be oral arguments scheduled sometime this September.
But we just got word, folks, that we've got another oral argument in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and that's moving quickly. When is that one going to be scheduled?
That one is scheduled as of this morning for May 22nd. So that will be the first oral argument in any of the mandate cases before a Court of Appeals.
Folks, Ed, thanks for the update on this. We appreciate your hard work and the team that you've got assembled for this. Great job and a great victory. Thanks for calling in, Ed.
Thank you.
Folks, you hear what we've got to deal with. We are in a fight here against Planned Parenthood, NARAL, and the Obama administration. And, Jordan, you said something earlier, and I want to reiterate this. The Obama administration needs to get with the program here, and the program is six courts have said that the religious liberty rights trump this HHS abortion pill mandate, and it's only the Hobby Lobby case that is contrary to this.
That's right. I mean, you've got to look at the facts here, folks. The Obama administration, really, this was about politics before the election. You remember they were trying to cast this as the conservatives are anti-birth control. And we were looking at the legal issue. The legal issue is, if the government can do this, what's left of the First Amendment? What does it mean to have Congress to make no law respecting establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof if they can absolutely violate all of the First Amendment? I mean, the first right that we're promised. And these courts, for the most part, and at least in all six of our cases, have looked at it and said, yes, I mean, this is a violation of the First Amendment. You can't just say no big deal here because we're talking about corporations that are privately held rather than religious organizations. But it was because we kept fighting. Really, the liberals, they thought, no problem here. This is like, I can't believe you're even filing the lawsuits and there's not a legal controversy when absolutely there is.
Not only is there a legal controversy, folks, understand this. We're fighting the Obama administration. And here's the thing. We're winning. We're also taking your phone calls, whether it's that cross at Ground Zero, which now stays in that museum. Of course, the American atheists are going to appeal it. They said they're really angry. So the angry atheists are going to appeal. Or whether it's beating Planned Parenthood, NARAL, and the Obama administration. All in a weekend's work, folks, for the ACLJ. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We want your comments. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to the phones. Who do we have next, Jordan?
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Zachary calling from Texas on line two. Zachary, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Zachary.
Hi.
You're on the air.
I'd just like to make a comment about the cross. That's Ground Zero.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I think it is within people's liberty to express their religious views like that. So I'm in agreement with y'all. but I believe that it's kind of disrespectful to those who died in the attack who were not Christian, and I was wondering what you would have to say.
Well, what do you think about the idea that they have at the same museum, Zach? I'd like your opinion on this. At the same museum, they have Jewish prayer shawls that were actually came out of the building. They have also people from the Muslim faith, some of their things that they use in prayer also that survived the attack. The people didn't survive it, that's all in the museum. Should those be removed too?
Well, I don't believe it should be removed.
Okay. So it's there as symbolic as history. I mean, that's two surviving steel beams in the shape of a cross had a lot of solace for a lot of people. Not everybody viewed it as a religious symbolism in the Christian context. Some said it was an offer of hope. However you viewed it, I mean, I have a particular way I view it is we know what it meant. And I don't know if we have the sound from that where some of the people we talked to about what that symbolism represented. We'll have that on tomorrow's broadcast. We have it in a special that we did on 9/11 or focusing on 9/11. And it's interesting when you talk to people what hope they found in that cross. But the judge correctly threw the American atheist, Jordan, the angry atheist, were thrown out of court, which is exactly what should have happened in this case. Of course, they're appealing it, and we'll let everybody know how to handle that. But, Zachary, it's just part of the history of the 9/11 attacks for people to remember, and that's why it's in there. And she ruled that the display beams is permissible because they bear historic importance. And that's exactly what the issue is. And that cross will remain, and we're glad that it will do just that. Thanks for calling in. We understand your opinion. I don't even know if you disagree with this, really. It's part of the history. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me tell you what we'd like to do. If you've got a question or a comment about the cross staying at Ground Zero or this HHS mandate, the abortion pill, 6-0, folks, we beat them back, beating the Obama administration. But I want to play for you number 7 again. Listen to this discussion, then I'm going to have you take action. This is with Planned Parenthood.
You stated that that a baby born on a table is a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family. Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that.
Is that not disgusting? That's Planned Parenthood, folks. You go to your phones right now and you join this committee. We're beating them in court. We need your help. You join the committee, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Joining the committee to stand against Planned Parenthood, to stand against the Obama administration and fight back, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge, the HHS mandate that forces employers to provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if it violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed multiple lawsuits directly challenging this unprecedented attack on the religious and conscience rights of Americans. And the ACLJ is experiencing tremendous success. The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-877-877. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old. I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals. But if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
President doesn't want him punished with the baby, and his big funding group, Planned Parenthood, well, they're asked the question if there's a botched abortion, which there was in Florida, the child is alive on the table, surviving the abortion, what happens? And the Planned Parenthood position is that that baby's life is now subject to the mother and the doctor, and that the baby is not a patient. And if you think I'm not telling you the truth, for those pro-abortion Planned Parenthood friends that are out there, friends of Planned Parenthood, well, listen to the testimony between the state of Florida representative and the representative from Planned Parenthood, folks. This is disgusting, but this tells you exactly what we're dealing with.
You stated that that a baby born on a table is a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family. Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that.
Folks, I mean, just think about that for a minute. That's a really good question. I don't know how to answer it. Well, the president's not very good at those kind of answers because he was asked the question about when life begins. So I don't know if we should have any shock on this. This is with the conversation with Rick Warren. Remember this back in 08? Here's what he said, number 9.
At what point does a baby get human rights, in your view?
Well, you know, I think that whether you're looking at it from a theological perspective or a scientific perspective, answering that question with specificity, is above my pay grade.
Yeah, you're the president of the United States, is above your pay grade. You were a senator at the time you said that. And let's take it another step further. Your friends at Planned Parenthood have the same position you do. And that's why, folks, we are in court. 16 cases we filed briefs in, 7 cases we've litigated. We have decisions in 6 of them, and we've won all 6. God has been very gracious in that regard. The D.C. Court of Appeals reversed themselves on Friday. Reversed themselves. When we filed a motion for a rehearing en banc, that was before the entire D.C. Court of Appeals, the court on its own motion reversed themselves because I guess they can count too. But we're fighting for life here, and this is where you come in. I want to encourage you to join this committee. It's filing briefs in 16 cases. I'd love to have that committee of 200,000. We're on the way there. We're over 135,000 already. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I just laid out the case for you on why we need to do this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Jordan, let's go back to the phones.
A lot of calls about the atheist issue, who they, of course, said that we are angry. The angry atheists because they lost in federal court that they filed last July. The Ground Zero Cross, which they believe is unconstitutional. Remember, they said this was make them physically sick, mentally. You remember all of that? That was them. They lost Friday. It was thrown out of court. They say they're going to appeal. But, you know, we call them the angry atheists. We said the angry atheist syndrome. And, of course, in their statement to CNN, really self-fulfilling here, quote, "We are angry." I mean, that is literally the first quote from the head of American Atheists, David Silverman. And we did a lot of work exposing them when they filed this lawsuit last year. And the statements that they've made about Jews, the statements that they made about other religious people, about anybody who's got faith. And they start off in their statement, quote, "We are angry." Well, we knew that. Let's go right back to the phones. Todd in Colorado, online 5. Todd, welcome to JSecio Live.
Thanks, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good. Hi, Todd.
Good. Hey, listen, help me up and understand something here, guys. I know a couple atheists, God bless them, and I was wondering, their take on everything is they don't care about anything because there's no consequences to suffer. So why are these people so upset about this if that's the case? They don't care about anything.
Well, Jordan is the expert. He's followed the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He knows what they're saying. He's the one who initiated this whole angry atheist approach. And by the way, they're the ones – I said this morning to Jordan in an email back and forth early this morning when we were working on the program. I said they're the ones that said angry atheist. I mean, it wasn't us. They came up with it, and they said we're angry. They're always angry, but go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would say. These are – activist atheists, Todd. They're not just your everyday. I think for the most part, like you said, most atheists out there, people who are agnostic or just not that into religion, don't care around this idea that I need to take down every religious symbol. I've actually gone out there and said that I think this group may call themselves atheists, but there's something else going on. That for some reason, they get physically sick when they see a cross, Todd. I mean, they get physically, they say, headaches, mental and physical. They said mental and physical pain and suffering because of seeing a cross at the Ground Zero Memorial. Now, if you walk around America, you walk around Washington, D.C., where I am, you'd be really sick if you were one of these individuals. So either they're making that up, or there's some reason, right, Todd? Like you said, if they don't care about it, why is it making them so sick? And that, of course, I think goes back to the spiritual issue, that there's something with this group that forces them to focus all their time on religion, even though they're not supposed to be religious at all.
Which is the interesting dynamic in all of this, Todd, is what Jordan said, is they are so non-religious that all they think about is faith. I mean, it's pretty bizarre. So that's why they're the angry atheists. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Yep, back to the phones we go. People have been hanging on. Fran in Ohio, line 3. Fran, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Fran.
I know if people want abortions. I used to be a pro-life picketer, and I'm really disgusted with this abortion pill that, you know, I think we should boycott it or picket it and decide to sign petitions against it and all that. And
well, you know, I think the picketing's great. We've defended that for decades, and I think that's fine. But right now, we've got to win this in court. This is a federal government rule, Fran. I mean, this is the federal government saying you will pay for abortion-providing drugs, whether you like it or not. The government is mandating. That's why it's called the HHS mandate. And I think because of that, that's why we're in court. And the good news is we're 6-0, folks. We've won 6 cases that we've litigated. We've got 7 in litigation. We haven't gotten a decision in the 7th one yet. But of the 6 that have been litigated, we have won, including at the courts of appeal. So we're seeing great results. But we're fighting back in court because right now this challenge is in court. And, folks, what you've got to understand is we are in federal court on these cases, fighting back and fighting back aggressively. And we're going to continue to do that. And Ed said we got at the end of May, we'll be before the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals. We just won at the D.C. Court of Appeals. We've won at the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals. We just got a district court order today in another case. This one out of Missouri. We won that case as well. So God has been very gracious in providing victories in these HHS cases, but you're fighting the juggernaut of Planned Parenthood, the group that says when the child is on the table, if it survives an abortion, no rights whatsoever. You don't believe me? Listen to it again in their own words.
You stated that that a baby born on a table is a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family. Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that.
Here's how you answer it. Of course, the child that survived the abortion is entitled to medical treatment. You don't kill it. They already tried to kill it. Yep, it survived. The child survived. So what do they do? But this is Planned Parenthood. This is the Obama administration's position. And folks, this is why, if there's no other reason than just listening to that video, that audio, you should go to your phones right now and say, you know what, I'm going to stand for life and file briefs in these cases. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to have your voice heard. Fight back, folks. We're winning here. We want to get to 200,000 signatures. We're up a little over 135,000. 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to live in freedom. Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, we've had three big victories, two in the HHS mandate, one at the district court just came in about a half hour ago, one in Missouri, so that makes us 6-0. And then we got the D.C. Court of Appeals to reverse themselves. They initially ruled against us. We then took it to the entire D.C. Court of Appeals, but the original panel that heard it decided to reverse themselves once we filed it. So that was some good news. And then we also got word Friday that the cross at Ground Zero in the museum will remain. The judge threw out this lawsuit of the American Atheist Association, and they said they're angry, so the so-called angry atheists continue to lose in court. So three major victories. We thank the Lord and our supporters for helping us get there. Let's go right back to the phones. We got a lot of calls coming in. We'll try to take them in order. Who do we have next, Jordan?
Yeah, Jimmy in Georgia on line 6. Jimmy, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just calling in regards to the abortion issue and the bite you played from the president.
Yes, sir.
Saying that's above his pay grade. The only thing I wanted to say, and mine is more of a statement of support, is I used to do gardening, and you plant a butter bean, and anybody that's done that, you can open the ground up and see where the shell is separated, and the shoot comes out, and that is life. And it's not rocket science, you know.
Not only do they disagree with that, they're even saying that if that life here, a child, is on the table and survived the botched abortion, Planned Parenthood says too bad for the child, that the child has no rights, which we find, Jimmy, personally disgusting. But we're playing it because that's what their position is, so we're going to lay out the evidence for you so you know exactly what we're dealing with. We appreciate you calling in. Thanks, Jimmy. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Anthony calling in from Florida, line 1. Anthony, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Anthony.
Thank you very much. These people need to get a reality check like I did decades ago and realize that this battle is a non-winnable battle. You're fighting against the creator who Richard Dawkins seems to write books about, trying to deny somebody who he doesn't believe, and also concerning the sanctity of life, Peter Singer. How does he feel concerning his children? That's baffling to me. Thank you, guys.
Well, I appreciate it. And I think you're talking about both the issue involving the selected abortion issue or the child surviving the abortion and the cross at Ground Zero. Jordan, we know that they're talking about appealing. They said they're going to appeal. They said they're angry. They're going to appeal. We don't have an appeal filed yet, but you're not going to be surprised if there is an appeal here.
No, absolutely not. I mean, one is they do a lot of this for attention to the atheist cause, but second, they are angry. I mean, this is affecting them in some way. Now, I tend to believe that a lot of that is just kind of jargon that they use to try to get into court, to try to get standing. But if it's true, let's say that that's true. I mean, think about the spiritual issue there as well, that they're physically disgusted by, that it's causing physical and mental pain to walk by a cross in a museum. I mean, think about any art museum in the world, including here in the United States. They have to run away from depictions of the crucifixion? Not because the imagery is disturbing, but because it's about God and Jesus, and so they got to run away from that, or a mosque they have to run away from? I mean, you know, it's one thing to disagree. It's another to say it actually causes you mental pain and suffering.
They can't seem to get away from it, though. And we're taking your phone calls, folks. Again, if you're just joining us, the cross at Ground Zero in the museum stays. The atheists lost. They're angry and they're appealing, which is fine, but we're fighting back. Who's next, Jordan?
Yep, back to the phones we go. Sherry in California, line 4. Sherry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Jordan. Congratulations, and thank God.
Thanks.
This is a wonderful victory, all victories. And I just want you guys to know.
Thanks.
I sign your petitions, and finally I have an income I've been able to send.
We appreciate it.
You guys, I just want to tell you that it makes me physically sick to hear that conversation about the live baby being on the table. And my question is, are there laws in place at that point?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you something. It's called murder. Yeah, it's murder. If they don't help that baby and they were intentionally kill that baby again or to attempt to, it's murder. And I don't know how they get away with it, frankly, and they shouldn't. And that's Planned Parenthood's position. Hey, we'll be back with more of your phone calls, folks. Again, sign that petition for life, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge, the HHS mandate that forces employers to provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if it violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed multiple lawsuits directly challenging this unprecedented attack on the religious and conscience rights of Americans. And the ACLJ is experiencing tremendous success. The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
Everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. As you know, we've been talking today about moving our record in these HHS mandate cases to 5-0. Listen, this life issue is an issue that we've been engaged in for more than 25 years. I want to play for you now some segments from our DVD documentary, Choosing Life. This is a history of the pro-life movement, a history of Jay's involvement specifically in that issue, dating back to the days of a sidewalk protest and all the way to his Supreme Court arguments in these cases. So let's go ahead and listen to a few scenes from Choosing Life Now.
Good evening. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortions. The majority in cases from Texas and Georgia said that the decision to end a pregnancy during the first 3 months belongs to the woman and her doctor, not the government. Thus, the anti-abortion laws of 46 states were rendered unconstitutional.
If you look back now in 1973 and say, where were these organizations, like the ACLJ and others of their generation, where were they on this issue? They didn't file briefs in the case, they didn't really respond to the case, and there was no national outcry of the case. The church was significantly asleep at the switch, but so were the American people.
The evangelical church, for the most part, was not even recognizing abortion. It wasn't on their radar screen.
It was on no one's radar screen as a significant issue. That changed when people started putting their lives in between the woman seeking the abortion and the abortionists themselves.
And so when we had rallies in the 70s, it was hysterical. You maybe had three people. All of them were, median age would have been somewhere about 85 years old. It wasn't until about the mid to late 70s that the evangelical church started getting on board. Francis Schaeffer started addressing issues. People like Jerry Falwell.
I had strong political differences with Jerry Falwell, who, in spite of our differences, would have called me his friend and vice versa. We didn't agree on many political issues, but I gotta say this. When this man took a pro-life position, he took a pro-life position. All you had to do was call his office and say, I have a woman here, she's pregnant, she doesn't have the money, she doesn't have the means, can you help her? He would provide a total support system.
Jerry Falwell gets, you know, portrayed as this guy up in Lynchburg, Virginia that who's paying attention to, and the fact was he was talking to millions of people every week on his radio and television broadcasts.
I think the church, all across the political spectrum, has to perhaps imitate the likes of Jerry Falwell. Not just talk the talk of being pro-life, but walk the walk.
But perhaps the crystallizing impact of evangelicals becoming more aware of abortion was the election of Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan took the moral issue of abortion from the religious moral realm and put it into the political realm because he felt like the Roe versus Wade decision was wrong and he wanted to do something for the pro-life movement, and he did.
More than a decade ago, a Supreme Court decision literally wiped off the books of 50 states statutes protecting the rights of unborn children. Abortion on demand now takes the lives of up to 1.5 million unborn children a year. Human life legislation ending this tragedy will someday pass the Congress, and you and I must never rest until it does.
The politics always has, it's a mixed bag politically, but Ronald Reagan clearly was trying to do everything he could do to bring the pro-life movement into the political realm.
But the issue was that in the mid-80s, we were starting to look for ways to really engage the church in practical ways to get involved. Well, that leads us to Randall Terry, the beginnings of Operation Rescue.
The abolitionists in the 1830s and 40s and 50s used to take black slaves that they had freed and bring them throughout the North so that people could see the scars on their back, the teeth knocked out, so that politicians that supported slavery would be ashamed and embarrassed, and so the people would rise up against it. We are in that tradition showing this baby.
Randall introduced two things. One, that if you had two at a clinic, suppose you had 200 kneel in prayer at a clinic. Then he introduced the concept of repentance and our responsibility.
Christians are waking up and saying, well, if they can be brutalized by police, if they can be dragged into federal court on trumped up charges, then it's only a matter of time till it could happen to us. So many Christians are joining the fray out of a healthy self-interest, an interest for their children, for their children's children. It's time that the body of Christ really looked itself in the mirror, in the face of the mirror, and said, what do we want to leave our children?
We have a moral obligation to rescue babies from murder. As Americans, we're blessed with many choices, but the right to kill our offspring and murder our children is not one of them.
It all gets hooked up into health care. It all should be free.
You have far more value than your boobs.
We should have housing.
Far more value in the eyes of God than your boobs.
Yeah, a little bit more than somewhat of an activist. We went right to the front lines.
I've had three abortions, and I don't feel bad about any one of them.
You do.
Rob and Paul Schenck are both Jewish Christians. They were in Buffalo, New York. They had a congregation in Buffalo. And they got heavily involved in the life movement, as a lot of Jewish Christians did.
My brother was the pastor of one of the leading churches in our community. I was a minister on the staff of that church. Members of our church had moved into a new house where next door they thought was a medical facility. But she would do the dishes at night and watch out the kitchen window and see the staff of this medical facility coming out into the parking lot and holding up what appeared to be some kind of trash bags.
And she was there in the house rocking her little baby in the front window when she noticed him hold these bags up to the sky. It was a sunny day like today. And they appeared to have liquid and matter in them. And he poked them a little bit, and then he walked back here to the dumpster and he opened it and threw them in. And then he jumped in his silver Peugeot and he drove away.
Well, that made this woman very suspicious. She thought somebody's breaking the health codes. You can't throw medical waste into an open garbage dumpster. They had small children. She was concerned about their safety. So her husband, who happened to be an inspector for the IRS, came home and she asked him, please investigate and find out what these people are doing. Well, he retrieved one of those bags, and in that bag were the remains of 9 aborted babies.
And that was the first time that I saw the primary victim of abortion.
They brought the bag to my brother, their pastor's office, laid it on his desk, and said, look inside. And my brother looked inside the bag and he said every human instinct inside him wanted to put these babies back together again.
They were little babies, fit in the palm of your hand, but they were little boys and girls. You could tell that. One little girl had a dimple in her cheek, but her head had been severed in half, her arms and legs torn from her, her body disemboweled.
And it was so stunning to him, he was almost in shock. for a couple of days and then decided these babies deserve the dignity of burial.
Well, we came back here a month later and we had an open casket funeral service right on this sidewalk. And about 400 people attended. This sidewalk, clear from here on up to the main street and all the way across, was filled with people. Two chiefs of police, the town supervisor, the mayor of the town, all came and participated. We had the longest motorcade anyone could remember in the town's history.
I invite, as I say, everybody in our city, pro-life, pro-choice, and although I am pro-life.
We buried those babies at Mount Olive Cemetery, right around the corner from my church here. And that's really how this whole story began to unravel. That was September 1987.
My brother said, "You have to come with me."
Individuals that had experience with the Holocaust in their own family and understood that these were really life and death issues, there's, I think, a special burden put on those of us that carry that. And the Shanks had that burden, as I do.
I am Jewish by birth, Christian by faith. And my father made sure that all of his four children were fully educated in the Holocaust, what the Nazis did to the Jews in Germany. And I recall sitting on his lap and looking at these ghoulish photos of mass graves with women, children, and men in those graves. And the visual imagery of abortion brought all that into reality.
Pat Mahoney is the perfect example of the classic social liberal, except on the issue of abortion. Pat was an activist. He was an activist. He marched for the civil rights movement. So this was a natural outgrowth for him.
It was as simple as loving your neighbor as yourself. I never really considered myself a pro-life leader or a pro-life ministry. I always looked at this as quite simply following the teachings of Scripture. And when Jesus identified our neighbor, he didn't base it on geography, but he based it on need. The Good Samaritan, the person who was most in need. So I think any objective look at our culture and society, the person most in need in our society and culture today are these innocent children and these women who are facing these challenging pregnancies.
Again, folks, those were a few segments from Choosing Life, our new DVD documentary. If you have not yet gotten your copy, you need to do so now. You can do so while you join our committee to oppose the HHS mandate by calling 877-989-2255. Of course, you can sign up at aclj.org. A lot of litigation on this mandate ahead. You can be a part of it with us. Call now, 877-989-2255.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge, the HHS mandate that forces employers to provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if it violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed multiple lawsuits directly challenging this unprecedented attack on the religious and conscience rights of Americans. And the ACLJ is experiencing tremendous success. The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-877-877-877. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. I'm going to play a little bit more sound for you from our DVD documentary, Choosing Life. It's a history of the pro-life movement, specifically Jay's involvement with the sidewalk protests, with the pro-life litigation. It really puts into perspective why we all need to be involved with these life issues. We've moved from fundamental issues of life to now a situation where we're having to litigate things like the HHS mandate, forcing religious employers and institutions into actually participating in the abortion process, facilitating the dispensing of abortifacients. It's something that has not moved the right direction, and yet we have had a great number of successes along the way. We have been right in the middle of those for the last 25 years or so. Let's go back. Let's play a few more of those scenes. Again, this is Choosing Life, our DVD documentary.
He was the one that the pro-abortion groups could at least say was a decent guy.
My political leanings, I'd like to think, are consistent, but they're perhaps a bit eclectic with many faith groups. I'm not a conservative, I'm a Democrat, I'm a pacifist, I'm opposed to war, opposed to the death penalty. So in the late 70s, mostly Catholic peace groups started employing peaceful civil disobedience.
The abortion clinic has become the altar of convenience, the altar of comfort, of self will, of promoting selfish desires above the will of God. So America, I want to plead with you and implore you, look what's happening in New York, and it can happen next in Topeka, Indianapolis, Virginia Beach, the heartland of America, 5 to 7 years down the road.
He was very useful in that regard for a movement, and as a lawyer, he was useful as a witness because he presented a good, strong civil rights background to this issue, which was very helpful.
For me, there was no one sort of epiphany, there was no personal experience, there was no life-changing event. It was just a simple looking at scripture, loving my neighbor as myself. Who is my neighbor and how do I love them?
The abortion battles of the late 80s, early 1990s, when it seemed like these tectonic plates in our culture were pressing against one another. You had two distinct worldviews.
We must work to make child killing illegal, unthinkable in this country. In the meantime, we also must go right down to these very fortresses of hell where babies are being killed and do all that we can to save those children from death. We must provide options for mothers who are in a crisis pregnancy centers, maternity care, adoption, whatever. Our stance against child killing and our work to overthrow legalized child killing in this country must be comprehensive.
Here's what happened. The pro-choice movement was humming along. No real opposition per se on a grassroots level, no threat. And then suddenly, hundreds of people are coming into the streets kneeling at clinics. And they completely freaked out.
The politics of confrontation were in evidence again today on the streets of Atlanta. After a month of relative quiet, anti-abortion protesters returned to the streets, vowing to shut down city abortion clinics. The Atlanta police vow they will not, as ABC's Mark Potter reports the results were predictable.
People like Randall Terry and Pat Mahoney and the Shanks and about 1,500 other people were in jail because they were willing to put their life in between the woman seeking access to abortion and the abortionist.
S-E-K-U-L-O-W. First name is Jay Sekulow. I'm the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. Jay, not Jason.
Got a call from a person that knew that I was a lawyer, that I had an office in Atlanta at the time, that I had done the Jews for Jesus case at the Supreme Court of the United States, and that he knew something about free speech.
Yesterday, police arrested the protest leader on criminal conspiracy charges. The city also filed a lawsuit.
Actually, it was a spiritual moment for me. I was walking in the jail, and I don't say this lightly, and it's not happened to me often in life, but I walked in the jail, and I mean, I really felt an impression from the Lord that I am supposed to represent this guy who I never met at that point, didn't know who he was.
It was strictly trying to intimidate us and put fear into the hearts of people to try and crush the back of this thing.
And I went in to tell him I wasn't going to do it, I wasn't going to represent him. But I decided, as I said, I mean, I really thought I heard from the Lord on this, and I went in and ended up telling him I would represent him.
And today, at the demonstration sites, the police got tougher, arresting about 200 protesters, handcuffing and dragging to prison buses those who refused to walk.
Well, we're just appalled that the city of Atlanta would violate the constitutional rights of 18 Christians who chose to stand on a sidewalk, not blocking that sidewalk, and to kneel on that sidewalk to pray for an end to the Holocaust of abortion in this nation.
Protest leaders say they will ignore a judge's order today that demonstrators be fined if they continue to harass clients at abortion clinics. Mark Potter, ABC News, Atlanta.
Well, it was interesting because the injunction was issued against Operation Rescue and its affiliates, but it did not name any other individuals, of course. So Christians in Atlanta that wanted to engage in this, including the pastor of our church, at the time, Bill Haynes, and my wife, Pam, and some friends of ours, Gina Robertson and others, went down to that very same abortion clinic and simply got on their knees and prayed on a public sidewalk. The police ultimately came. Motorcycle police came up.
Miss Buchanan is the, you're the director, clinic manager. Clinic manager. Okay, that's right. Who is this? What's your name, ma'am?
I'm Rita Barnes, and I'm community relations.
How many abortions take place here?
What, you mean by week or by
year? Or whatever.
Usually it's measured by year.
We,
4,000? 3,000 to 4,000.
We do.
Which is that
70 to 80 a week, something like that. 70 to 80 abortions a year.
We also
see about 200 women a week in this clinic.
And they were threatened with arrest.
If they threaten with arrest, we'll run it to federal court today. If they don't threaten with arrest, I may run it to state court if they cite him for contempt. We'll be running it to some court. I need Pat 211. Okay. If I have to have you stall the officer, stall him. Call him at the hotel.
Okay, well, that's not the way at 1200.
Room 211. Right? Wrong.
That was Pat Monahan. We had gotten, this was in the old days, the cell phones were about the size of a shoe, and we had just gotten this technology, and Pat was handling one series of cases, and I was handling another, and we were just trying to coordinate our defense approaches because we knew ultimately these cases were going to end up at the Supreme Court, and they were moving really quickly.
Don't even let him get cited. Tell him not to get him cited. You're not going to get cited. Don't worry. Okay, I'm going to tell him not to get cited. Okay? If the police officers come and ask to take the pictures, I'm going to tell them to leave. And then we'll go right into federal court.
You want to just walk away if they come inside?
I think so. I'm going to go right next to the clients, and I'm going to tell them to leave. You don't have the right to take them on a public. I'm going to ask them what the reason is. I'm going to take the pic. Not if they don't want to take them, they can't. They can just walk out and leave. If they don't put them under arrest, they cannot do it. That's the law. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to disengage with you. You stay right there, and I'm going to go over there with the camera as they're doing this, okay? They're starting right now. Hold on. Is this your position, officer?
Folks, that just gives you a taste of what we've been involved with on the pro-life issue over all of these years, over the last couple of decades. But listen, the fight that we're engaged with now is the HHS mandate, the forcing of religious employers and religious institutions in participating in the abortion process. It's a step beyond what we've ever gone before, folks, and we've got to fight against it. If you want to join with us, if you want to add your name to the committee to oppose the HHS mandate, it'll be filed with various courts and various amicus briefs in all of these challenges across the country. Call now, 877-989-2255. As always, you can also sign online at aclj.org. But call now, 877-989-2255.
The ACLJ has a perfect record in obtaining court-ordered injunctions, putting the HHS mandate on hold while the issue is litigated. At the same time, the ACLJ is supporting other legal challenges by filing amicus briefs. Now you can join the legal fight too. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.